subheading, a famine, not for bread, and a thirst, not for water. Amos 8:11 is one of the most often quoted verses of Amos by the Watchtower, and which reads, "Look, there are days coming, is the utterance of the sovereign Lord Jehovah, and I will send a famine into the land, a famine not for bread, and a thirst not for water, but for hearing the words of Jehovah." The Watchtower always applies Amos 8:11 to Christendom's supposedly spiritually famished condition. But rather than a spiritual famine, the exact opposite seems to be the case in some respects, inasmuch as many of Christendom's denominations seem to be experiencing a revival of sorts. Consider a few relevant facts. Compared to the medieval age, when the Catholic Church had a stranglehold on the Bible and forbade it to be preached or even translated into the common languages of Europeans, modern churchgoers now have been given much greater access to God's Word. Although the Catholic Church used to oppose the translation of the Bible, more recently, there are numerous Catholic Bible translations and commentaries available to the public. Although shrinking in numbers relative to the growing population, where is the evidence of a modern spiritual famine in the Catholic organization? Evangelical and fundamentalist denominations also offer in-depth Bible studies, and their numbers are growing rapidly as a result. Those wishing to hear a Bible-based message do not even have to go to church anymore to hear it, since Bible preachers of various persuasions dominate the radio. Television evangelizers are also quite popular. The internet has literally thousands of Christian-oriented websites and online Bible study programs. The rapid growth of the modern evangelical movement, particularly in Latin America, has been hailed as nothing less than a modern phenomenon. Certainly, there is no evidence of spiritual famine among many of the evangelical denominations. As for the Orthodox branch of Christendom, the Russian Orthodox Church has seemingly returned from the grave after having been suppressed for decades under the communistic USSR. There is no evidence of spiritual famine from that quarter either. In the past, the Watchtower has pointed to the declining numbers of churchgoers as being the fulfillment of prophecy regarding the so-called waters of Babylon drying up. The truth is, though, many religious denominations are much more vibrant today than in the past. While they have never taught the correct doctrines of the Bible, it is simply not in the realm of reality to insist that Christendom is more spiritually impoverished now than before. As regards the spiritual famine foretold in Amos, since the famine specifically concerns hearing the words of Jehovah, and since the Watchtower is inseparably linked with the distinctive name of Jehovah and is the only channel recognized by Jehovah's Witnesses as offering true spiritual nourishment, the spiritual famine must relate to the coming collapse of the Watchtower Society. Virtually every prophecy and many of the Psalms offer foregleams of the coming judgment upon the house of God. Amos is no exception. Besides, the Watchtower seems to be overlooking the fact that the spiritual famine described in Amos is not the result of slow attrition. The verse preceding makes it very plain that the famine is caused by a sudden disaster that Jehovah brings upon his people. Amos 9:9-10 words it this way, "And it must occur in that day, is the utterance of the sovereign Lord Jehovah, that I will make the sun go down at high noon, and I will cause darkness for the land on a bright day. And I will turn your festivals into mourning, and all your songs into a dirge. And I will bring upon all hips sackcloth, and upon every head baldness, and I will make the situation like the mourning for an only son, and the end result of it a bitter day. But the question arises as to why Jehovah would cause a modern-day spiritual famine to afflict his people. The prophecy of Amos sheds some light on that question. According to Amos 3:2, the reason that God held the wayward Jews accountable, more so than any other people on earth, is because of the special relationship that Jehovah had with the nation. Of all the peoples and national groups that existed before the time of Christ, Israel is the only nation that Jehovah had direct dealings with. Hence, Jehovah spoke through Amos, saying, "You people only have I known out of all the families of the ground. That is why I shall hold an accounting against you for all your errors." Jehovah's Witnesses boast of being the one true religion. If that is the case, then Jehovah's Witnesses are inescapably accountable before God, as were the Israelites. Not as faithless fault finders or unspiritual malcontents, but as people of God with true Christian humility, let Jehovah's Witnesses now consider how Jehovah looks upon the modern organization, doing so through the lens of prophecy. Amos 3:13 invites your attention. "Hear and give witness to the house of Jacob," is the utterance of the sovereign Lord Jehovah. Contrary to the prevailing mindset among Jehovah's Witnesses that all internal scandals must be kept secret so as not to bring reproach upon Jehovah, Amos was commanded by God to publicize to the nations Israel's spoiled spiritual condition. At Amos 3:9, Jehovah told Amos, "Publish it on the dwelling towers in Ashdod and on the dwelling towers in Egypt, and say, be gathered together against the mountains of Samaria, and see the many disorders in the midst of her and the cases of defrauding inside of her. And they have not known how to do what is straightforward." It is in the same spirit of the prophecy of Amos that the watchtower's corruption is now exposed to public view by this publication. Subheading: O you who are turning justice into mere wormwood. According to the fifth chapter of Amos, Jehovah brings judgment upon his people because they became unjust and acted immorally and faithlessly. Amos 5:7 says, "O you who are turning justice into mere wormwood, and the very ones who have cast righteousness itself to the earth." True justice is a sweet thing. The scriptures reveal Jehovah God to be a lover of righteousness and justice. He has deep concern for those who are afflicted and disadvantaged, and he expects, yes, he demands that his people, and especially their leaders, follow his laws and principles and always strive to honor the name and person of Jehovah by doing what is right and just. Because the name and reputation of Jehovah was bound up with ancient Israel, it brought enormous reproach upon God's good name when the Jews acted unjustly, as if turning justice into the bitterness of wormwood. Today, the overseers and governing body of the Watchtower Society are especially accountable before Jehovah to make sure that the name of God that Jehovah's Witnesses publicize is not brought into disrepute in some way. But regrettably, Jehovah's Witnesses have unquestionably brought tremendous reproach on the name of Jehovah, and the leading men of the organization are especially reprehensible. How has that come about?